Joining us on Front and Center is Jack Brophy. Jack is the owner of Delson Hinges in Southington. And Jack, welcome to Front and Center.
Well, great to be here.
How about giving our audience an overview, Jack? What is Delson Hinges?
Well, we are a small manufacturing company in Southington, Connecticut, and we manufacture hinges, all different sizes, different types, different materials for a wide array of different companies and businesses across the country, down to Mexico, up to Canada. So we're a small specialized company. We make specialized parts.
Did you start the business or how did you get involved?
Well, the business was started back in the 1940s by there were three brothers, I believe, that started the business. And I got involved by late 70s, I was working for the business part-time just because I was working full-time in another shop and I needed extra money. And, you know, you have young kids growing up. And then I slowly started working for Delson Hinge full-time. And then in 1995, myself and my partner bought the business. And we've been running it since.
What type of hinges do you make?
Well, we make, stainless steel, aluminum, steel, brass, all, you know, small little tiny hinges that you'd maybe even see on a jewelry box size hinge up to 8 feet long, sometimes 10 feet long, heavy material. You know, anywhere in between. It's all specialty stuff, all made to a blueprint. You know, the customer will send us a print or we'll design it with the customer and I'll make a print here that they okay and then we make it from that.
You know, Jack, you don't realize hinges are everywhere. I'm just looking around our studio where this interview is being recorded and there are hinges everywhere and you don't realize it until you focus on it.
Right, and it's like a million other things that are out there that you don't realize that somebody has to make all those things. And that's what we do. I mean, a lot of the door hinges and things are that you'd buy at Home Depot or whatever, they're made. And I think a lot of the stuff is going to China. But you know, what we do here is the specialized stuff. It's stuff that, needs to be inspected. It needs to be exactly right. It needs to be, within tolerance of the print. And, it's a little different than what you'd see at Home Depot, but a hinge is hinge. It does work the same.
Some people might not understand. Explain tolerance and why that's so important.
Well, the tolerance on a part is, and it changes from customer to customer, but the tolerance is what they feel that they need for their part to work properly. So if there's a hole in the part, I have to put the hole in a certain position that they call out on their blueprint, and they'll give me a tolerance that I can move that hole, you know, 5/1000ths to the left or right, or I can move it 2/1000ths to the left or right, whatever they decide they need it to be. So sometimes you have very liberal tolerances that you can use, and other times they're very, very tight, and it makes the job much more difficult to produce, but you can do it, and you get it done.
Let's carry that to another step. When, for example, you're designing or customizing these hinges for a customer, do you have to take into account, particularly when we're looking at a specific item that you're doing, do you have to take into account climate? In other words, allow for expansion and contraction?
Not so much with the parts that I'm making when I'm making the hinges. But, you know, we make the tools here that make the parts. We make the tools here right in-house for the different hinges that we make. And the tools are, it's hard to explain, I guess, but I take a piece of sheet stock and put it in a press, and then it comes down and it'll punch out or do whatever operation the particular tool is designed to do for the part, be it put holes in or put a form in the part or, you know, blank out material for whatever reason. We make the tools here, and the tooling is a little more precise than making the hinge itself. The tool has to be exactly right.
You have customers all over the world. Describe your business.
Well, what we do is we make parts for all different medical aircraft, you know, everybody, pretty much the gamut of everybody out there. We make parts for, you know, from electric boat in Connecticut here to little tiny shops. There's a customer right now that's looking for 60 pieces of a hinge to go on a an antique toolbox for a military toolbox that he's going to sell. And so we're going to quote the hinges to do that. So it goes from, you know, some of the stuff is very high precision stuff that has to be, sometimes our parts get laser cut, but the blanks themselves will get lasered. And, you know, and then we'll finish them here. You know, some things get painted, some things get plated, which we don't do any of the painting or plating here. We send it out for that. But, you know, a lot of it's done to a military spec, you know, that the military gives you a what we call an MS number, and you go to that MS number, and that will give us all the tolerances we need. It'll tell us what the plating needs to be, and it all has to be done to a certain standard. And so you make sure your vendors can hold that standard, and you know, and then you know you get to the end product, and then you ship it out, and everyone's happy, and hopefully we stay happy here and busy.
Well, this is very fascinating because sometimes it can explain to our audience what's involved. For example, when Electric Boat lands a federal contract, there is a chance that you could be somewhat on the receiving end of that contract. Is that right?
Oh, that's correct, yes. And you know, like I just used Electric Boat as an example, but there, you know, there are a lot of times these bigger companies, and there's many of them that we make hinge for that are, you know, they're looking for, you know, 10 pieces of this and 20 pieces of that. And sometimes they're going into repair work where in the repair work they're needing small quantities of certain parts. And we're able to make those parts to the military spec that they need. You know, so therefore that's a niche that we fill, and they can come to us for a part, and we can make it. But yes, to answer your question, the more these military contracts that come to Connecticut, the more business is going to trickle down to all the smaller shops, I believe.
We're talking to Jack Brophy of Delson Hinges, based in Southington, our guest on Front and Center. I'm Dan Lovato. All right, Jack, take us through the process. Someone is interested in a hinge for his business or whatever. They come to you. You go to them. How does that work?
Well, we do some advertising, and we try and find people to let them know we're here so that we can fill their needs. But a lot of times they will find us on, you know, we have a website, and they'll find us, they'll Google hinges and find our website, and either call us or email us with a request for quote, and we'll then, you know, take that request for quote. And sometimes it's very cut and dry. What they send in is very understandable, and we can just quote it. And other times we have to call the customer and hash out what exactly they're looking for. Sometimes I'll have to, we'll draw a print here at Delson of the part that we believe that they want and send that to them. And then if there's changes needed to be done, we'll change the print on the computer, and we'll hash it out until we find out exactly what the customer's looking for, and then we can produce the part for them.
You mentioned hash out on the computer. How has technology changed and affected Delson Hinges over the years?
Well, the computer is awful powerful tool, and when I'm using it for the prints or whatever, it's a CAD drawing program that runs. You know, that runs a CAD drawing. And so you draw, whereas I used to draw on a board where you had a board and a pencil and a T-square, and you drew tools or whatever on a board, what they call on a board. That's how I learned how to draw. Now you do all that in the computer, and the computer makes it quicker, it makes it faster, it makes it more accurate, it makes it very easy to change things. You know, there's no eraser marks on the computer when you have to change something, whereas on a piece of paper it gets a little sloppy. You know, so the technology there has been, you know, it's a great help. It's a great tool. It was difficult to learn, but once you learn it, it does speed things up, and it makes things more accurate, I think. And, you know, plus then you you know, you can email prints. You can, you can do stuff on your phone today. If someone needs something, you can just send it off to them. So many different ways. It's actually pretty amazing how easy it is to do what was at one time very difficult.
Do you find that it saves time for you?
Oh, it saves time for sure. And the other thing too is if I need to get something, if I'm working on a tool and I need to get something done at a vendor's, like a wire EDM or some other process done on a tool, I can just give them the drawing that I drew in the computer. I just give them a file and then they put it in their machine and the machine knows exactly what it has to do and it just does it. So it makes it cheaper for them to do that part for me because they don't have to redraw everything. It's already all done. They just have to put it in their machine and the machine works it and does it.
So, well, what do you do to stay up to date on technology?
Well, the technology stuff, the hardest thing I'm finding right now, and I'm working on as we speak, is the is our website. And there's so many different things that this website can do for you or not do for you to get you customers to come, to look at you and hopefully send you prints to quote. And so I'm actively right now trying to get through the what I think is a very good website, but I'm right now trying to enhance that and make it so it's better than it is. And I'm just finding out now how deep that gets. It's way more involved than I thought it was. I mean, I'm into it pretty deep now. It's pretty involved. And I guess that's what everyone's doing, and it's part of your advertising. It's part of what you do, because to advertise for a custom part is a difficult thing to advertise for. If you're advertising for with salt shakers, you could just advertise to anybody that uses salt shakers. But with a custom part like what we do, it's hard to advertise to a person or zero person in that needs a custom part. So the website's the way to go with that, I think. And I'm finding that there's a bunch of changes we're going to make in the near future with the website, just because that's the way to go. I think that's what we need to do.
Your website, by the way, is delsonhinge.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. What have been some of the more challenging jobs that have come your way?
Well, we've done parts for customers that have had, there's parts that have had the it's hard to explain. I hope you'll understand. It's like the pin that goes inside the hinge is sticking out on both sides and then formed and then heat treated. The whole part gets heat treated, and the pin that goes through the part becomes the spring that they use on their application. So it gets pretty involved. Some of the jobs get pretty pretty involved. And, some of them are very basic. Some of them are a basic part, and some are not basic at all. I mean, some of the parts that we have lasered or we'll have the blanks lasered out that are very involved and very unique to the customer. And, other ones are not so unique. So, it goes, like I said before, it goes from very, very, very specialized to not as specialized.
Have you been faced with situations where someone will call and say, we need 1,000 hinges and we need them in 48 hours?
Oh, you get that. That's the world we live in today.
Yeah.
That's what everybody does. I mean, everybody needs everything right away. And, it's funny that, 8 or 10 years ago, it was standard that you have a 4-week lead time on manufacturing things. That is so gone now. It's become everyday occurrence where you have to pull this job out to put that job in to get this job done to get that one done, and it's the way the world is. And I don't think I'm alone there. I think everybody's doing that same thing because everybody needs everything right away.
So how do you meet that demand with a shortened lead time?
Well, with a shortened lead time, what you do is you do exactly what I said. Is you end up juggling your tooling in your machines and. You look at delivery dates, and we have a spreadsheet that has all the delivery dates on for every customer that we're working on. So we constantly are referring to that to see which way do we go here today, and what are we working on today. And it can get labor intensive because you have to do some things twice. But you have to get the job out. You have to get it done, and we seem to be very good at that. We seem to get things done for customers in a timely fashion so that they're happy. And you know, it seems like that's a very important part of our niche.
You mentioned before how you started out as this being a part-time job to augment your full-time job. At what point did you reach a crossroads where you said you wanted this to be your full-time job and you want to own the place?
Well, it was a progression, but I was working at another manufacturing company, and I had a disagreement with the owner, and he and I didn't see eye to eye, and it was bothering me at the time. And I was being offered a job at Delson Hinge. When I was working there part time, they kept trying to get me to go work for them for full time. And finally, I said, "Well, you know what? This other gentleman's giving me a hard time. Maybe I'll just go work for Delson Hinge full time and see how that works out for me." And that was in 1980, I believe. And I've been here ever since, making hinges.
So, what is it like being your own boss?
Well, it's being your own boss is not what it's all cracked up to be. People think, "Oh, geez, you own the business." It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of headaches. It's a lot of worries. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. I wouldn't do it any other way. I thoroughly enjoy it, but there's an awful lot to it. It's not like that you go to a country club and talk with your buddies. There's a lot of hours put in.
In general terms, we hear a lot about the manufacturing sector in Connecticut. It's good. It's not good. They need more jobs. How do you view it?
I view it as I think that manufacturing is getting a put on the back burner kind of a thing. People don't realize how important manufacturing is to not only Connecticut but to the nation. That you know, the more things that we lose that we can't make here, you know, when you can't make things, I think you're putting yourself in the country in jeopardy. I mean, the military needs so many different things. If we can't manufacture them here, I mean, where do we go? Now we're in trouble, I think. We need to, the manufacturing part of this country is hurt, and they don't feel as important as I think it is. Obviously, I'm right in the middle of it, but I think it needs to be given a little more thought on to how we can continue to make things in this country.
Well, what can we do to revive it in this nation?
Well, to revive it in the state, I think the education of the younger people is key to get younger people involved in manufacturing. Whereas I talked to different people about that are kids going through the trade schools. And the tool and die industry or the tool and die programs that they have there, there's almost very few people going through it. More people going through the carpentry and plumbing, and I think it's because when I became a tool maker, it was one of the things that you'll always have work. They always need tool makers, and you'll never be out of a job. But now I think the average toolmaker would probably be 60 years old in this, in Connecticut. I mean, there's no young kids coming through, and that's the problem. Is if you don't have younger people coming through to carry on, it's not going to carry on.
Now, I know the state's trying to do something with the community colleges in this area, but we're talking about well-paying jobs that are out there if the young people want to make the effort, right?
Exactly. There's some great jobs out there in manufacturing, and if young people are, I think it's a different time, actually, is when I was a young boy. I mean, we worked on all our own stuff. We fixed our own bicycles. We fixed all our own stuff, and the kids today don't have that they're not brought up the same as to work on everything themselves. So they feel like that to work in a manufacturing facility would be difficult. They're so far away from what they know that they feel like they'd be out of place there, which is not true. It's all very trainable, very teachable stuff that the young people could learn and do very well at.
We're almost a throwaway society, you know it. It's broken, so we throw it away instead of trying to fix it.
Exactly right, and we need to get away from that. I feel. I mean, I think we need to look at the longevity of things instead of You know, we buy a washing machine today and expecting it's going to last us 4 years, whereas when our parents bought a washing machine, it lasted 25 years. You know, it's just we need to go back to that, I think, and get away from the things not having any meaning. I mean, people buy things. It's the way the world has gone, I'm afraid, and I think it was better maybe the other way in a lot of aspects.
Jack, what's the best piece of business advice you were ever given?
The best piece of advice I was ever given was to get up and go to work every day, no matter what. And that's the best advice, because if you get up and go to work every day, you'll get through whatever comes your way, whatever problems you have, be it not business, but even at home. If you get up and go to work every day, you will get through whatever comes your way. You'll get through it.
Work defines us in a sense, doesn't it?
I think it does. Yes, and you know, people look at retirement as, oh, I can't wait to get out of this. I can't wait. And I think that you're losing part of the importance of being a player in the game. I think there's a certain part of, like myself, I really, and this may change down the road, but you know, I'll be 60 years old this year, and I have no interest in retiring. I have none. I wouldn't know, and I have a lot of hobbies and I do a lot of different things, but I would not want to be a part of my contribution every day. So I make hinges. That's my part. That's what I do. And you work on the radio, and somebody else does something else. And when everybody does what they're supposed to do, it all works.
Well, there's a saying out there: retire, expire.
Yeah. Well, I think there's something to that. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to stay active, and I think being in what I call being in the game, you're contributing your part, whatever that is, to the to society. You know, I don't care if it's pumping gas or bagging groceries, but you're putting, this is what you're doing. This is your part of the deal. And I think that's important, that we all contribute something.
Jack, anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up our interview?
No, I think this has been a great conversation. I've had a lot of fun talking with you. And hopefully if someone needs a custom hinge, now you know where to go.
Jack Brophy, the owner of Delson Hinge, our guest, and Delson Hinge based in Southington. And Jack, thank you very much for joining us on Front and Center.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Dan.